Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. So this is the somethingth day of the KSFR Fun Drive, 10th day, 9th day, something like that. And it is the best day of the KSFR Fun Drive because we get to answer the age-old question and let our audience participate in determining the answer to that, at least for now. And that is the question, which is better, dogs or cats? Here, as special cat advocate, is our favorite trader, Bill Hutchison. He is a former dog advocate. He works at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm going to be excited to talk about my conversion experience this morning.
And Christopher Willett is a special cat advocate. He was with us last time, and he's here again. He's a volunteer at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome, Christopher.
Good morning.
And Mary Martin, she is the new director of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. It's great to have you here. She is taking the position of dog advocate.
Oh, and good morning, and thank you for having me.
And I am the special dog advocate because I can't help it. We're going to check in now with the control room and see how things are going this morning. We're not sure how things are going this morning, but we are going to let people know that here's the deal for this hour and only this hour up until 9 o'clock and 30 seconds. You can't vote after that, but up until 9 o'clock, the question is, which are better, dogs and cats? If you make a contribution to KSFR by calling 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, and make a contribution in the name of either dogs or cats, it's just like democracy. $1 gets you one vote. So if you make a contribution of $50, you get 50 votes for your choice, dogs or cats. Check in with the control room.
Hello, Mary Charlotte. How are you? It's Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Nice to talk with you. And I just came from the pledge room. We made the challenge grant. The phones are still ringing off the hook, so keep calling. If you get a busy signal, we get people on and off the phone in less than 90 seconds. So just hang in there. Give another call, 428-1393, 428-1393. We'll be back with a bunch of thank yous in just a moment. Thank you so much.
Most excellent. I'd like to give the cat people the first word. Why do you think now, Bill, who used to think that dogs were better, that cats are better?
It really comes down to emotionality for me, Mary Charlotte. You know, I'm sitting and I'm thinking, I'm looking at my two cats, I'm looking at my two dogs, doing a little research to prepare myself, and I discover that humans and cats have almost identical emotional centers in their brain, which means that at the end of the day, I know my cat is going to understand me better than my dog. And frankly, in these difficult times, having an empathetic soul in your life makes a huge difference. And that's what moved me to this side of the table, I have to tell you.
Tell us a little more about your conversion experience. All these years, you've been special dog advocate, and I trusted you. I felt that you were somebody who one could really...
I trusted myself, Mary Charlotte, and I was surprised. You know, I was out one day walking my dog and cleaning up her poop as she walked along and thinking about how much food she was going to eat that night and how much I wished I had somebody in my life who understood me at all. And then I walked home, and there was my cat, and I'm thinking, your brain's like mine. Maybe it's small and tiny and sometimes makes you stare at invisible demons in the corner of the room, but I can understand that. And that was the moment. That was the moment that I switched teams.
Christopher Willett, you are a, what, lifelong cat person?
Devotee. Knew it from the day I was born.
Is that right?
Yeah. The first words out of my mouth were, here, kitty, kitty. Yeah. So I'm glad that Bill jumped the fence on this one. It's nice to see that there's room for growth on the cat side, and I don't know. I think that once you're here for a while, you'll know that there's no going back.
I think Christopher also embodies the true altruism of the cat. You meet Christopher's cats, and there's a whole wide variety of misfits and medical problems, and only somebody who really can understand deep empathy could join them, and that's what it is to be a cat person.
428-1393 is the number. And if you're listening on the internet or out of area, you can certainly call the toll-free number, 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR.
Mary Charlotte, Cindy back here for some thank yous and also to let folks know to hang in there, get your votes in because the dog people are starting to call.
The dog people always call first.
I know. But from the last bout of Challenge Grant matching, we have thank yous for Ellen Miller. Thank you so much, Ellen. Nancy Dreisbach. Thank you, Nancy. Catherine Tenney, who is a cab driver, I believe, and she's inviting all other taxi cab drivers to call in right now. I'm sure a lot of them have dogs in their cabs or cats in their cabs. Carlos Mora, thank you, Carlos.
Carlos, yay.
Yay. Elaine Sullivan, thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
Mary Aiello from Santa Fe, she got Amy tickets.
Yay.
Anonymous again in Santa Fe got Matt Miller's Tyranny of Dead Ideas, a fantastic book. It's very hot right now. That's a $75 pledge, by the way. Ree Mowbray of Tezuke, and she got the personal trainer.
Yay.
At the Bulldog Gym. She's, watch out. Oh,
wait
a minute.
Now, notice that
more?
It's called the Bulldog Gym.
I know.
And not the
Bullcat
Gym. I just wanted to point that out.
More. Ted and Adan, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Mary Charlotte, you may be able to help me with this. It's A-D-A-N. Would you say Adan?
Adan.
Trujillo from Española.
Yay.
Thank you. And thank you, Española. And Amy Greaves of Santa Fe. And Bob Weeks, you all are amazing and wonderful, and we thank you.
And
back
that's
to you.
Wow, that's a great morning. Let the phones keep ringing. It's your vote, dogs versus cats, which are better. On the personal training note, I would like to say that dogs let you exercise, lose weight, and be trim by requiring you to go for a walk with them every single day. And if you notice, who's got the larger paunch? It's always cat people.
I just wanted to add that Bill and Christopher, it's wonderful that they've had such good experiences with their personal cats, but I'd like to look at this from a much more broad perspective. If during my research I discovered that there were many, many, many more quotes for dogs in general than there were about cats, and the quotes for dogs were much more positive. For example, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can say honestly that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed, color, religion, or politics, then, my friend, you are almost as good as your dog. But for the cat quote, one is never sure, watching two cats washing each other, whether it's affection, the taste, or a trial run for the jugular.
You know, that is so very true. I think that can also, there's another quotation about dogs and cats, which is something like, basically, always blame it on the dog. That's the cat's motto.
I can't help but notice, Christopher, that we sit here calmly doing a little bit of grooming while the dog people just scramble for their info.
It's a high defensive.
I know, it's very strange.
Totally.
I don't quite understand it.
And it's funny because cat people exercise on their own. I mean, we don't need a dog to get
That's
us
right.
out of the house in the morning.
The
I
word
mean,
Mary
we're
Charlotte
self-motivated.
Uses very self-motivated. The word Mary Charlotte uses require. A dog
requires
you. Whereas
yeah.
I prefer election. The cat is the truly democratic animal. We get to choose whether we interact with one another, which you don't always get with a dog who's bugging you and poking their nose right in your armpit while you're trying to
or
do
worse.
Very important things, or worse.
Uh-huh.
I have to break in. There are no votes for cats.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we have Zippo, nada.
Cindy, you're really imbalancing it here. I think you're part of the secret dog lobby.
She totally is.
She really is.
The DIA.
Listen, I love cats.
That was a pretty good meow. I believe you.
Both Mary Charlotte and I came up with the same conclusion that cats are actually like really bad boyfriends. and the reason for that is the same reason you're saying dogs are in your face. You cannot sit at your computer without your cat walking on your computer screen. Your cat uses his litter box and then walks through your food on your countertops.
I've never had a boyfriend do that.
Just they don't have good boundaries, and that's what I found with my kitties. I can't teach my cat to put her things away, but my dog, I can teach him to put his toys away. Those kinds of things. Mary Charlotte, did you have others?
I mean, like a bad boyfriend, cats come and go as they please. They make you do all the work. They're coy. They sleep all day. They eat nothing but meat. And they will play with you, and they make you suffer and enjoy it, and then leave you for dead on the front steps.
And dogs behave much better in bed. My dog, when he gets in bed, he curls up next to me and slays quietly, while my cat will wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and walk on my head, ask to be fed. Not my dog.
And also sink its claws into the soft tissue of your neck.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of dual purposeness with cats that I think I've really come to appreciate, not least of which
there
is
are
the...
No,
go ahead, Cindy.
No cat votes.
Wait
still.
A minute.
Annie,
wait a minute.
Annie.
I don't believe there are no cat votes. There's something fishy going on here already.
They think it's
so
me.
Too.
They think I'm...
Well, I know. It could be you because you're a bird girl. But
428-1393 is the number. 505-428-1393. Register your vote, dog or cat. $1 buys one vote, just like in the real world.
Mary Sharp, whose side are you on this time?
Give me a break.
Just checking.
Dogs.
Dogs?
Dude.
Really?
Of course.
Just because you have three?
No, well, it's partly because I have three, and because if I had a cat, the youngest dog would eat it. But also,
that'd be interesting.
I'm allergic to cat, and that brings me to another point, which
Mary
is
Charlotte,
that...
You're undermining with your own dog the dog platform.
You are, totally.
I don't know any cats.
Bill,
I know lots of cats that
Bill.
Don't like dogs,
you're
but
so
I don't know any
dog.
That will actually eat
uh-huh.
them.
They
yeah.
would totally eat them if right. they were, for example, lions or bobcats.
But I don't let those in the house anymore.
I know, but
not
the point
the
is, the feline, it's just simply a matter of this size. If they could, they would. In other words, if you had... a 20-pound cat, it would eat your chihuahua in a New York minute.
This is a long-standing tradition. And in case nobody's had the nerve to point it out in the last few minutes, cats have won the last three fun drives in a row.
Is that true, Dale?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's actually not, because one of those, Linda Durham... called and made a pledge and said that her pledge was equal to the amount of the difference between whoever was ahead.
Well, you're right. That's true.
And so it was a tie, which we think is very civilized.
No, I don't think that's a tie. See, last year I thought that was good on Linda, and this year I think it was good on Linda because she really understood the need for cats to come ahead. The reason cat people aren't calling is that they're up very early doing philanthropy work that dog people... are still just lounging around, finishing off a milk bone, crumbs still all over the corners of their mouths. Cats have been up early, bit of cat food, groomed themselves, gotten themselves ready to go. And I think, don't we have a couple of cats answering phones right now?
Oh, we sure do, yeah. And they're not allowed to vote.
Aren't they from Theater Grotesco?
Yes, the cats are in Theater Grotesco in the pledge room.
The number is 428-1393.
Have your cat call. They're very smart.
Well, you know, that brings me to another point. If cats are so smart, why can't they do tricks? Why can't they save people who are lost?
Oh, wait. Have you seen this? They actually have the cat obstacle course now.
Oh, no. Well, they've had dog obstacle courses forever, and you don't
see
cats going into the Andes with a barrel of brandy around their necks and saving people.
They would if you let them.
Did you know that?
They would if you paid them.
That's true. See how smart they are?
If you have a dog actor, you can make $400 a day handling your dog actor, but kitties only garner $200 a day. So you can actually make a living with your dog, and probably your cats just suck money mostly.
Wait a minute. I think we need some bird and horse people in here, too.
Well, that'd be okay.
I think Mary's talking about the glass ceiling that we're finding so many cats hitting. And if anything, we need to get the votes in because we need
Bruised
to have better
cats.
Equity between cat and dog pay. I've long been a proponent of equal pay for equal species.
You know, dogs have been known forever to be man's best friend. Do you know how long and hard they work to earn that title? There have been literally millions of species, animals, birds, insects. None of them got the nod. So there must be a reason that dogs are called man's best friend.
Riding the coattails of my own species rather than sitting next to me. No, wait, my dog does sit next to me. This is always a problem every year because I'm easily swayed by every platform.
Now, here's a rescue story that I found, which I think is a heartwarming story, and I'd like to read it in its entirety. While walking Boomer, my 5-year-old lab, on a street near my home, I stumbled into a pothole and broke both legs. Though I screamed for help, no one was around. Boomer lay right down on the road and stayed there. I knew I needed medical help, so I wrapped my arms around his neck and said, "Home." My 160-pound lab dragged me, stopping now and then. Finally, we made it home. My husband found me and called 911. I had rescued Boomer from a shelter. I never dreamed that he would end up rescuing me. That was from a nice lady in Auburn, California. You ever heard a cat story like that?
I've got a cat story. That story that you read, Mary Charlotte, has long been known to be a hoax that's circulating the internet, which is, I'm guessing, where you cut and pasted that from. But I have my own personal story. When I was 8 years old, I was walking through a field, and a dog pushed me into a well. And I was at the bottom of the well with two broken legs, waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, this cat walked past, and I called for help, and he looked down, and he asked me what the matter was. I told him I couldn't get out of the well. He threw down a rope and pulled me out. It also turned out he was a pediatric oncologist and was going to do volunteer work for kids with cancer. Now, I just don't think that any dog could beat that story, especially after a dog pushed me into the well.
You know,
it's hard for me to tell that story.
There's only one problem with that story compared to the story that I just told about Boomer the Lab. It's not true, whereas the Boomer the Lab story is true, because I looked it up on urbanlegends.com, and it said, oh, yes, this one is actually true.
But just because mine's a lie doesn't lessen the emotional impact of it. It could be true, Mary Charlotte. It could be true.
You know, I think this takes us back to the bad boyfriend comparison. You know, that there is no, with those people and cats, there is no truth. It's just a set of narratives, whereas dogs are true, and their owners are true, too. We have some thanks from the control room. Oh, I thought we had some thanks. Anyway, Mary Martin.
I was have been working in animal welfare about 20-some years, and I actually have a true story that proves dogs are better than cats. I foster mother dogs and puppies and mommy cats and kittens, and I have mother dogs that will foster kittens, but not the reverse. And those mother dogs will take those anything that cries and treat them as their own, but the cats absolutely look at other species with beyond disdain, absolute disdain.
You know, I think that's kind of an example of Aristotle's magnanimous soul, magnanimous man. That dogs are the Aristotelian magnanimous man, whereas cats are the thief and scoundrel in Aristotle.
There are some negative endorsements for dogs. Mary's facts may be true. I trust her completely on this, but let's go backwards a little bit. Let's look at, say, Napoleon Bonaparte, cat hater. Hitler, cat hater. Martha Stewart, cat hater.
She is not a cat hater.
No. She's a cat owner.
She has
yeah, I think you got
cats.
That one wrong.
That was
it's
just
okay.
A
he's
chance
new,
for
he's
cat
new to
people
the platform.
To catch
it's
me.
All right.
That's right.
Can I just very quickly?
You just did.
40. No, stop saying that. 40 votes for cats. I have 40 votes for cats here. We're going to pick this up for the cats.
Thank you,
Paul,
cat
Paul Meyer. On behalf of his lovely bride Brianna, who has rescued 4 cats and brought them into their home, Baxter, Bailey, Stella, and Brady. And thank you also to the Peter Grotesco folks who are on the phone. And as soon as I mentioned they were on the phone last time, the phone started ringing. So that's a nice thing, too.
But 428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. Cast your vote. Cats or dogs, each dollar buys a vote. Are dogs still ahead?
I don't know that for sure.
Well, Dal, go and get us a report, and we'll meet you back here in a few minutes.
Okay.
We are here with Mary Martin, who is the director of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and Christopher Willett, who is a volunteer there, and Bill Hutchison, who is also working there and has been working there for a long time. All very loyal people to the cause of animals. But I think it's appropriate and fitting that the dog advocate is the director. As the director, in your capacity of director, you can choose, and you've seen every kind of animal, and you still come out in favor of dogs.
Now, that's just underhanded, Mary Charlotte.
That is very underhanded.
Yes, and probably so inappropriate on my part, but as someone pointed out to me, one has to represent the saints in the sinners equally. And to Bill's point, I was looking at my notes, and the cat owners include Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Mike Tyson, and Martha Stewart. Well, well-known dog owners are Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Martin Luther King. I suspect there's a lesson to be learned there.
Mick Jagger, Bill Hutchison, Keller Williams, my favorite musician.
And,
I mean, it's the list is, it's clear.
You know, in looking back over past dogs versus cats, I was looking at some of the things that in my previous incarnation as a dog advocate, I had used as reasons that dogs were superior. For example, they've been domesticated longer. A dog will probably not eat your dead body after you die in the house, and your cat almost certainly will. But as I've thought about it more, I realized that it is the pragmatic nature of cats that really put them head and shoulders above dogs. Being domesticated for half as long means that they have maintained that independent spirit for a lot longer and frankly just didn't need us, didn't need humans for much longer than the needy, needy canine. And I appreciate the fact that my cat will bring my body into his, will let me nourish him, will let me continue to support and keep him alive even after I've perished in my home and he sells my clothes to Goodwill and eats my body, leaving only skeletal remains in the floor. That's a huge endorsement. Garish as it might be, it's a huge endorsement for the pragmatic cat.
You know, you really just did undermine yourself pretty bad there. I just want to say that.
I spend a lot of time doing that, Mary Charlotte.
Dogs versus cats, which are better? 428-1393. I would say that it's pretty easy to make the case that dogs are the true peacemakers. They want peace on earth and joy wherever they go. And they will use every tool at their disposal for that peace and love to reign supreme in the universe. Whereas cats, basically, they want to kill. Mary Martin, true or false?
I would say that is absolutely true. And really, if you think about it, think about all the things you can do with your dog, hiking, biking, swimming, all the things you can do with your dog, and pretty much you can just look at your cat and clean up after your cat and clean your clothes after your cat.
You can pet it. You can pet a teddy bear, too.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked a lot about health benefits in the past, and I read an article last night from Tufts University that says that dogs are way ahead in even the lowering blood pressure department. So we've always said that having a pet to pet lowers blood pressure, but apparently, statistically, dogs reign.
So dogs lower your blood pressure more than cats?
Yeah, part of it's because of the going out for walks effect.
Yes.
It's not just the
weight,
petting.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Right, the lack of paunches that all dog owners have.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to revert to data to make our case, Mary Charlotte, but you know, the way democracy used to be, it used to be that the greatest number of people voicing their opinion took it. And, you know, of course at KSFR, when we do dogs versus cats, we do real democracy as it is now, where you vote with dollars and the greatest amount of money wins. But if indeed dogs versus cats was a truly democratic system, then for the last 22 years, cats would have been ahead. In 1987, mark it on your calendars by going back in time and doing so, 1987 was the year that dogs fell to the number of cats as the most popular pet in this country. 50 million cats lived in 24 million homes in 1986. It's almost double that now. And worldwide, 300 million domestic cats. Now, just the sheer popularity and the utility as mousers, as lowers of blood pressure, as good companions, as a peer in your home. Cats took it with sheer numbers.
I think really that speaks to Republican economics, because what happened was that in the 1980s, the lowering of the stabilization of the minimum wage so that people really couldn't keep up with one-income families made it important for every household to be dual-income earners. And you can't always have a dog when both people, you really can't have a dog when both people are gone all day long. And so people got cats as the second choice.
So you're saying it's like trickle-down pet economics.
It's trickle-down pet economics.
And to that point, unfortunately, for cats often, they are much cheaper to get. So people will take them in. And if you look at shelters, dogs are much more often adopted than the cats, but the cats are cheaper. So that could explain also why people have them, especially in bad economic times.
I don't know about the cheaper part. I've got 8 cats with different medical needs, and boy, it's not cheap, let me tell you. Also, I don't think that they're necessarily bloodthirsty. I've had cats come on board in varying stages of vulnerability, and I also have a bird at home. They totally leave that bird alone. They just look at each other, get on the bed, purr. Well, she probably couldn't fly around the house.
That might trigger the instinct.
If it was flying around the house with a dog, I would be willing to wager that maybe your little bloodthirsty, possibly cat-killing dog of yours would go after a bird, huh?
My terrier Milk has some cat-like qualities in the sense that it would like to eat mice. I actually found oddly enough, I did find, I think I'm maybe speaking off off message here, but I did find a dead mouse on my living room carpet the other day. And oddly enough, my dachshund, with the shortest legs of all the dogs in the house, was gloating happily over it. And I thought, you know, I've got two terriers. Did my dachshund actually act the role of cat and get that mouse that was in that's been in the kitchen for the last 6 months?
This, I think, speaks to a very important point with cats. If a dog kills a beastie in your house, he kind of chews on it and leaves it where it was. Whereas a cat, understanding that the intensity and the connection of the relationship will often bring it to you and leave it as your, at your feet as a gift.
On your pillow.
Admittedly, it's not necessarily the place you want it to be or a thing you wanted to happen, but your cat, being the independent feline that it is, gifts you with the thing it has of greatest value. Because, of course, they're not possession-oriented pets like dogs are. So that gift, to me, is often the most sizable and generous gift that we could get. And if indeed cats are cost less and are perceived to be of less value, again, it's the glass ceiling. They're victims of the conservative dog agenda that's been at work for so long in this country, and I just think it's time to stop. Cat people, if you aren't calling in to vote, I just don't know what to say.
428-1393 is the number. Cast your vote. Which is better, cats or dogs? 505-428-1393. We're going to have a report from the control room.
The race is tightening. Cats are, as they always seem to do, they may be late risers, but they always seem to tighten this race up. I've got a couple of people to thank here. Beth Surdut. Beth,
thank you.
Thank you very much, Beth. And Beth says, I name all of my stray cats after bad boyfriends. She has 42.
Point
as
taken.
Evidence.
Okay. Thank you very
that's
much.
That's the best call we've had all day.
Well, I'm not
that
done.
That works against the
I'm
platform.
I'm not done. we have a thank you for Claire Crane and I believe her daughter Abigail. Now, here's the.
Thank
this
you.
Is a little complicated. Claire is pledging on behalf of her cats, Perry, Charlie, Millie, and looks like February, I doubt that, Lee. Bob, thanks for writing this so clearly. And Abigail, the daughter, is pledging on behalf of her dogs, Jack and Joey.
So it's 50-50. That's a split vote. It neutralizes itself. It's just like Switzerland. Thank you, guys.
It's like the Civil War. Mother against daughter. Do you see what we've done to this community, Mary Charlotte?
It's just the beginning.
I'd like to get back to the point you made before. The cat's greatest gift is a dead mouse, bloody, tortured, and deposited on your pillow, whereas a dog's greatest gift is lifelong loyalty, friendship, affection, and love.
I wanted to weigh in on that, too, because it's obvious that there's a communication gap between cats and their family members. They bring you a dead mouse. Do you really want the dead mouse or the squirrel tail? Where my dog cuddles up to me.
It's like tickets to the boxing match. Right. Oh,
perfect.
Darling, you shouldn't have.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Wherewith my dog knows exactly what I need when I need it. When I'm feeling sad, he'll sit and look up at me with his head on his knee, on my knee, rather, and give me the attention that I need. Where the cat just brings me a dead mouse. Perfect. Perfect.
Well.
Often when I get home from a long day at work, I find that the gift that my dog has left me has to be scrubbed off the corner of the chair.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, man's best friend, sure.
Hairballs.
Exactly.
Well, that's another excellent point I'd like to make. Of the two species, where do you find the hairballs? Mary Martin, in the animal shelter? Let's talk about animal shelter hairballs.
Where do we find them? Unfortunately, I think we find them in the bottom of cages.
But what animal do those cages belong to?
Oh, pardon me. Of course, the cat. The cat. That's and all over
point.
My house, yes.
I'm stunned
He's
into
speechless.
Silence. I am. I feel a little embarrassed.
We need to look at what dogs do, though, because they'll eat things and throw them up, whereas cats are less likely to do that, and also cats are less likely to excrete things that shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
All I'm going to say is that I don't mind necessarily having to clean up after the south side of my cat because it ends up in the litter box. And admittedly, sometimes you don't have to clean up after the south side of your dog, but it's because dogs are the only ones who are eating what comes out of them after they've eaten it the first time. No cat would ever eat poop, Mary Charlotte. And I hate to pull out the big guns. I hate to do this with my boss at the table, with my favorite radio host, but this is the real truth. And for most of us, it is a garish and horrible reality.
Well, for most of you dog owners, it's true.
I'm thinking of selling my dogs the more we go into this. If there are any buyers...
But you know, there, I would say only cat owners would really be that gross where you start talking about this stuff in the first place.
Well, and the reason the dog will eat the cat poop, let's just be clear, is because cats are such pure carnivores. Dogs can be omnivores. Dogs can eat veggies and live on veggies, but cats can't. They have to be killers. They have to eat meat.
This was a lot easier before my lies were caught by someone who knows this stuff. It was a lot easier when I could just make fiction up whole cloth. You know, I will chime in on, I'll step out of my cat advocate shoes just for a moment and speak in general. We at the shelter would not be able to get much of our message out without KSFR a lot of the time. We have always found that KSFR has been a huge support, not just to the shelter, but to the animals of this community as well. So if what KSFR does for the shelter, if our monthly radio spot, if all the animals that we get to bring you on the radio are important to you, then whether it's dogs or cats, although ideally dogs, I do hope
well,
to support
unfortunately,
KSFR.
Well, unfortunately, cats are beginning to pull ahead.
Why would you say that's unfortunate, Dal? I don't understand.
Well, not from my point of view, from Mary Charlotte's point of view. And it's
that's
her show.
That's what I like to hear.
Thank you. In radio,
Monica Meehan, by the way. Monica Meehan, thank you very much for Cheyenne and a retired greyhound. Monica has pledged.
This is Cindy here. I think it's a bit discriminatory that we haven't put horses and birds in here. We have tons of horses and birds in Santa Fe.
Well, you know, we were going to have a category this year called Other. And we were going
to have an
advocate. But there is no animal, horses or birds or reptiles or rabbits, where we get nearly as many votes or even as many people trying to, you know, we've asked this before, and there will be a lone person here or there. If you want to vote for Other, if you want to vote for any other animal, you can call and you can make a pledge and be in on behalf of your bunny or your horse or your...
Come on, horse people, let's show them.
I'd be delighted if horses won.
Horses are just
then
large
dogs.
Then
dogs would be shut out.
I agree with that. I'm a horse person, too.
Thank you. The number is...
Oh, another cat call.
The number is 505-428-1393. 505-428-1393. We're going to actually take a very brief break now to hear from one of our wonderful, beloved underwriters. We'll be right back. Please call and during these next 30 seconds and make your pledge on behalf of dogs, cats, or if it must be some other animal, but preferably dogs or cats, and preferably dogs. Dogs versus cats, which is better? Make your pledge to KSFR and stand up and be counted. You're being counted not only in terms of dogs and cats, which is better, but also your support of public radio, which is, as you said, one of the vehicles whereby institutions like the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, Felines and Friends, the small dog groups, and many other animal groups actually get the word out on what animals are up for adoption and all sorts of other things.
It's only twice a year that we also lie to people about dogs and cats. The rest of the time we tell interesting and truthful facts.
You know, truthful facts is something that only a cat person could say, because he is saying that there are lying facts or truthful lies. You know, again, getting back to the bad boyfriend situation. But the when I think of what we're doing here on dogs versus cats, which is better, the dog people, Mary Martin and I, are not telling lies. We are actually telling the full and honest truth about dogs that we get straight from the most authoritative websites, foremost among them, whycatsuck.com.
I'm going to give you an authoritative number here for both of them. Right now, dogs are 239 versus cats are 170, okay? And one of the people answering the phones today from Theater Grotesco said, you know why I don't like dogs? Because when I was little, I asked my mother where babies come from, and she was kind of hard of hearing. She thought I said, where does rabies come from? So she said, dog bites.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, dear.
I'm just the messenger.
That's pretty excellent. You know, for fans of gravity, this is a true fact. Sir Isaac Newton was the one who invented the cat flap. So if you have enjoyed gravity as well as cats, I would encourage you to donate on behalf of cats. He did not invent the dog flap. Only the cat door.
There is no disputing, there is no refuting. We're all indebted to Sir Isaac Newton.
Absolutely.
I wonder why Mother Nature did not give kittens puppy breath. Puppy breath is the greatest. You don't like puppy breath?
That is so true.
Why don't
kittens have puppies? Even I have to admit that's true. That's very sad.
Not so much.
Although kittens don't even have puppy paws. But, you know, one of the fine
kittens
things...
Kittens have kitten bellies, though.
They do have kitten bellies.
They do have kitten bellies.
Right.
I have to think about that.
Yep. I think we're devolving a little bit. But I do have a quotation from here from a veterinary... from a doctor of veterinary medicine that says, a retired doctor, of all the things I miss from my veterinary practice, puppy breath is one of the most fond memories.
See?
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. Again, these are some of the difficulties that we cat advocates have to help cats overcome. They have a lot of strikes against them just biologically, and we really want to raise them and elevate them to the level that, frankly, history held for them. And Siam, this again is a true fact. I'm not even making this one up. In Siam, the cat was so revered that one rode in a chariot at the head of a parade celebrating the new king. The cats were in charge of celebrating the new king. And frankly, I think the only way the Obama presidency could have been better is if, when he and Michelle and the girls went into the White House, they were preceded by a Siamese cat to clear the way.
But look at what they decided to get for their daughters, excuse me.
Yeah, and look. Do you agree that Hollywood has an impact on how we view the world? Pop culture is important. And if you do agree with that, and you look at the people who advocate for dogs as opposed to cats, look at Mickey Rourke this year. Did he thank his cat at the Golden Globes? Has his cat ever been thanked at the Golden Globes or the Oscars?
In fact, he broke into tears, as I recall, remembering little Loki.
That is correct. I can't think of an individual who has an impact on pop culture who has a cat at this point. But I can think of plenty of dogs.
I think for my difficulties in being a suitable cat advocate, cat people really better get the phone to ringing, push the buttons, and dial and make that happen, because I can sense cats falling behind, and I know that I'm falling short of my job. Christopher's doing great work here, but it's hard when you've just switched teams and become cats for the first year.
428-1393. Join Bill Hutchison, the traitor, to vote for cats, having switched sides after a lifelong life of dog loyalty, or stay with dogs. 428-1393. Now, actually, you know, we were talking at the beginning of the program before we actually went on the air about how we don't necessarily even want to have to take sides on this thing, because that's a kind of almost cat-like warrior position.
Really, I feel very much the same way with the first 50% of what you said, but for exactly the opposite reason in the second 50% of what you said. I don't think I would have switched over to cats if I felt like cats were getting fair and equal representation, as they do in my house. I believe that as a true cat advocate, it was my job to have equal numbers, to have parity among the species. Two humans, two cats, two dogs. It seemed only fair. Although I will say, in support of cats, no pet species has that same kind of wonderful constant mutation of polydactylism, multiple toes. Dogs have no toes to spare. They get the toes they're born with, and that's it. If they get a flat in one toe, there's nothing else to pick up the slack. I've got a cat who has six toes on one paw, seven on the other, six on both of the fronts. He's flush when it comes to toes.
But that's a deformity, Bill. That is a deformity. And on top of that, they grow claws between those paws, those extra toes, and those claws have to be removed, or they go into the claw and cause all kinds of problems and create big vet bills. So I'm not sure polydactylism is exactly a great reason to make cats better than dogs.
I've got to start doing better research before I come on the air.
You know, I would like to also point out that the chemicals that are required to get dog urine off of a carpet are cheaper and a lot easier than the chemicals required to get cat urine off of a carpet. If you've ever tried to get cat urine off of any kind of textile, you need a black light and you need to order all this super expensive stuff from the internet. And it really smells bad and it takes many tries to accomplish it. It's possible to do it, but you end up spending about a half a paycheck.
I always felt like that was a strength. You know, you go into a hotel room as, say, a crime scene investigator where something terrible has happened, and you shine your Lumalight around. Not only do you get to see the terrible blood splatters and evidence of the murder, but you'll also conveniently at the same time find out if a cat has peed in the room. I feel like that's...
And that's good because...
Or if a cat has participated in the murder.
Absolutely. It's a double whammy.
Which happens so often.
Just never know. Dogs are secret peers, Mary Charlotte, and that's the downside of a dog. A cat will stare you in the eyes while he transgresses. That's the kind of peer, that's the kind of honesty that I'm looking for in a relationship with a pet. My dogs will point to each other and pretend that the other one did it. Little liars.
But they're so smart in that way. In fact, I have to tell you a story. My one Thanksgiving, we had finished dinner and we're taking a rest, and we heard this crash down in the kitchen, and my big dog was laying at the top of the stairs when we got there, thinking that he said he had nothing to do with this. He knew not what was going on. And we get down to the bottom of the stairs. My Jack Russell is down there eating the turkey. And there's no way that Jack Russell could have knocked that turkey off the counter. And I don't think the cat could have done it either. So it speaks to me that that Labrador was smart enough to go down there, knock it off, realize that this was not a good thing, and come back and pretend as if he had nothing to do with it. That shows extreme
That's
intelligence.
Pretty good.
But what does that say about your Jack Russell?
Well, I think that's
hungry. He's a wicked little
He's
critter.
He's opportunistic, I guess.
The best Thanksgiving pet story that I've ever heard, and this is true, this happened to a dear friend of mine in Connecticut. Her dog was sitting in the living room just minding her own business, and the cats, absolutely true story, the cats knocked a turkey leg off the table and dragged it over to the dog and left it in front of the dog and then went away. And I believe, as she does, that this was a setup. This was the dogs trying to... Wait, why am I telling this story? This is an anti-cat story.
The cats
but it's just
were
such a good story. The cats
dog.
Were framing the dog. And I think
I rest my case.
My guess might have been that they were trying for greater justice, that the dog had
justice,
wronged
they're
them.
They're smarter. They're strategic. They're... Yes.
Absolutely.
I have a challenge for you guys. Can you quickly name famous cats?
Felix.
Oh, Garfield.
Dogs, famous dogs.
Lassie.
Benji.
Rin-tin-tin.
Old Yeller.
And unfortunately, I can think of also Heathcliff, but I realize that all of our cats are actually animated fake cats drawn on
Sylvester.
Acetate.
Right.
Yeah, that dog in Call of the Wild.
We don't have any real cats. Maybe it's because...
You know what? Because they're not celebrity hungry.
They decline popular enslavement.
They're
inner
zen.
They're not capable. Look at Andrew Lloyd Webber. Every other famous dog stars themselves. Andrew Lloyd Webber writes a play called Cats, and cats can't act in it. It has to have humans because cats can't do it. But you can have movies about dogs. We've got Old Yeller. He starred in his own. You've got Toto in Wizard of Oz. Come on.
428-1393. The phones have gotten a little bit slow. Cast your vote. Cats or dogs? Cats or dogs? Which is better? 428-1393 in the 505 area code, or if you're calling from out of area, 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. I think, you know, one of the things about dogs that makes them superior is that they've been bred to have such an incredible variety in size, temperament, and working ability. So you can get a dog who's just a little lap dog, and in fact, maybe a little bit cat-like in that respect. You can get a dog who's going to hunt. You can get a police dog. You can get a military dog. You can train them to do all sorts of things. You can get an assistant dog. Has anyone ever heard of assistant cats of the West?
I think
seeing eye cats?
Seeing eye cats? I don't think so.
I think that at the end of the day, though, we have to really look at what we have done to dogs, and I think cats have resisted this sort of forced genetic enslavement that we humans have put on them. And going back to movies, you know, I'm thinking about the number of superheroes named after dogs versus after cats. I can really only think of Underdog, who is kind of a doofus. But then there's Catwoman, who is not only named after a cat,
but villain.
Is possibly she's complicated. She's got a sophisticated moral life,
and she's hot.
And she's hot.
Well, played by Halle Berry.
And by what was her name?
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to go back to Eartha Kitt.
But again, played by humans. Played by humans, not by cats. That's
also
not real.
In these days of trying to conserve, isn't having a dog sort of like having a Hummer? I mean, you think about it. And actually, if you think about global warming, I mean, cats don't fart. They don't. And so if you look at the greenhouse gases that are emitted by dogs on a daily basis, I mean...
Owning a cat's like owning a Prius.
Owning a cat is like walking to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And having a dog is like leaving your engine running all day.
Oh, I beg to differ. Again, the carnivore situation. So that means we have to raise cattle.
My cats don't have gas.
Well, it's not the gas, but you have to raise cattle to feed the cat, which...
My cats eat grass, too, and catnip and basil.
But sadly, they can't not eat meat. Dogs can have a vegetarian diet. I'm bridging the gap again. I don't mean
you
to.
You are. You're bridging the gap. Which shows that once a dog person has been a dog person, that they're still natural peacemakers.
But I think if we review the tapes from years past, I also chimed in for cats, feeling like it was my moral duty to do so.
4281393. I do think, and maybe this is along the lines of peacemaking, I think that although dogs are definitely cuter, cats are kind of cute too.
They are pretty cute.
I'm trying to stick
you
to
just took
stick
my breath away.
My job
I can't believe
here.
You said that. Cats are way cuter than dogs.
No, dogs are totally cute.
Mm-mm. You That's know, if your cat rolls over on his back, you know, and shows you his belly, it means he really trusts you. If a dog does that, it means he's drunk again, he's passed out. Who knows if he's taken your purse, your car, gone away with your keys, maybe wrecked it, you'll never see it again, calls you in the middle of the night to bail you out of jail. That never happens with a cat.
This weekend, we're getting ready for a puppy palooza event, a huge puppy adoption event at the shelter. So right now, we've got all of these puppies all over the place, and there's nothing cuter than puppies and puppy breath and those little faces and those little bellies. No way are kitties cuter than puppies.
Now, I would like, quoting the great philosopher Michael Jackson, was it Michael Jackson? They call it puppy love, or was it Donny Osmond?
Donny Osmond.
I think it was before Michael Jackson.
It was the great philosopher Donny Osmond. They call it puppy love. Do they call it kitty love? I think not.
No, but I do think of the adage that there's nothing cuter, what do they say? Something's cute as a pail full of kittens. You don't ever hear anybody say something's cute as a pail full of puppies. Which,
sure,
you know,
they
admittedly,
do.
No, they don't, Mary Charlotte. Sorry, it was 4-2-8. The cat-like hostility coming out.
We only have 6 minutes left. 4-2-8-1-3-9-3 is the number. Cast your vote. Dogs versus cats. Which is better? So, one thing that I think is absolutely beyond any debate is that dogs are easier to groom than cats. You can bathe a dog, and it'll shake. It might not like it, but it'll shake off. Have you ever tried to bathe a cat?
You don't need to bathe
a
cat.
No, they're self-cleaning. Clean. Absolutely.
Yeah, but what if they get junk all over their backs?
They take care of it.
Junk all over their...
And let me ask you, Christopher, have your cats, if one has, say, an area he can't reach, doesn't one of your other cats help him out? Don't they not only groom themselves,
oh, yeah,
but one
absolutely.
Another?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm trying to think when the last time I saw one of my dogs grooming themselves, much less each other. Hold on. No, never, ever, ever, ever. So, really, I just think your argument doesn't hold water.
My dogs groom each other all the time.
Licking hot dog grease off each other is not
That's
the same
right.
as grooming, Mary Charlotte.
4281393 is the number. Also, cats are a lot harder to medicate than dogs. Have you ever tried to give a cat a pill?
Oh, yeah.
It's very true.
All the time.
It's not
a
fun.
Walk in the park. It is so easy. I have it down to a science.
What parks do you go to? Those are better parks than I've ever been to.
It's a walk in the park of claws and screeching.
I will say, let's not talk about maybe cats versus dogs for a second, but cat people versus dog people. Mm. Here's another true fact. According to a Gallup poll, more cats are obtained or come into the home by people adopting them as strays than dogs. Many dogs, of course, are adopted as strays, but many more are purchased from breeders or other such, they come from other such situations. But cats, huge numbers of cats, are strays adopted by good, loving cat people.
So it smacks of our intrinsic altruism.
That's right, and our need to help those who most need our help.
But it also tells the story that people abandon their cats at a much higher rate. And why is that? Why are there more cats that need homes than dogs?
And that cats are kind of slutty. Much more than dogs.
Yes.
Dale Hutchison, taking both sides.
Telling the truth.
Christopher Willett, you really have figured out how to give your cat a pill?
Oh, it's easy.
What do you do? For the education of our listeners.
The faster the better. Just grab it by the scruff, pop the pill in its mouth, and let her go.
That's it. I want to thank Beth Anderson.
Thank you, Beth.
Who pledged for cats. Beth says she loves the Radio Cafe. Cats are superior, even if they don't call in.
You're the best, Beth.
Well, cats are edging ahead right now, and it's 8:56, so...
We need a couple of dog calls, ladies and gentlemen.
Need more cat calls.
4281393. Dal,
you know,
I thought
dogs,
you were
dogs
neutral.
Dogs don't have a call named after them, as I think about it. Cat calls, cats have a call named after them, even if it's perhaps a pejorative call. Dogs don't have any kind of vocalization named after them.
They get, I am neutral.
What about a howl made famous by Allen Ginsberg?
Yes, but I think he was talking about a cat secretly. Ginsburg was definitely a cat person.
428-1393 is the number. Dog people, please call. Cat people, well, you can call too. And, you know, let's see.
Cat people always pull it out at the end. I never worry when we're behind at the beginning as cats because cat people always come to the rescue. They may be.
You never worry because this is your first time.
Oh, that's right. That's how I can be sure. It's 100% never worry.
428-1393. So another issue that we haven't even talked about is cats are more allergenic than dogs. Have you ever heard, how many people have you heard say, oh, I can't come over, I'm allergic to cats, versus allergic to dogs? There are some people allergic to dogs, but way more allergic to cats. That's because of the natural toxicity and hostility coming from the souls of cats that manifests in dander.
You know, people who are allergic to cats, I learned this recently, are not actually allergic to hair or dander. They are allergic to a fatty secretion that comes from sebaceous cells on a cat.
I am so relieved to know that, finally.
So it is your dog. It's your dog's dirty hair and ungroomedness. And I've seen your dogs, Mary Charlotte. They look like they just came out of refugee camps. Unlike my beautiful, handsome, groomed cats who look like they're about to head to the Barking Ball and support lots of good and important animal-related causes.
By refugee camps, do you mean Paris runways?
we've got some thank yous here, and I want to mention that a $100 call or two $50 calls from cat people would put cats ahead. Jay Oliver and Tosca from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter are voting for cats.
I knew you were going to do it, Jay.
Bruce Papier, allergic to cats, got to go with the dogs.
Yay, oh, Bruce.
Jackie, one of our own volunteers.
Jackie the dog says, on behalf of all rescued dogs, maybe their owners can call in. Okay. I love Samson, the wonder dog, Mary Charlotte, and Theater Grotesco. Well, great. That was anonymous, by the way. And here's another one. I love Mary Charlotte and Shakespeare the cat.
Thank you, Shakespeare.
Oreo the dog from the 1996 Santa Fe Animal Shelter. That was a big one.
Oreo, that's a good dog.
And Bill and Mary, this vote is for you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and the four of us are going to stay here on the air until after the local news from KSFR's award-winning news team to see how it all came out, because we really need to know.
Absolutely.
428-1393, you have one more minute, and only one more minute, to pull dogs ahead or...
I'll be here completely impartial.
Or the other side.
With John.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I want to thank...
Who has an agenda.
Mary Martin and Bill Hutchison and Christopher Willett, all of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Dal Dierman and all the volunteers in the control room.
Dan Garrity just sent me a note. If any dogs or cats actually call in, please call the news department.
And thank you so much for listening to KSFR. Once again, the pledge drive number is 428-1393 in the area code 505. You've got another half a minute left. We are staying right here online for the next couple of minutes, so we'll be right back. Here comes the news from KSFR's award-winning news team.